you know, if you thought the extended editions were long, Stephen, I watched all of the extended edition behind the scenes documentaries, which talk about what a workshop.
This weekend?
Yeah.
No, in
it's like
in the past.
20
in the
hours past. Of material, probably.
Yeah, all, they were all scored. The orchestra was playing along with the behind-the-scenes
this
documentaries.
This is where we make the plastic molds for the bow and arrow. And then you got Miles Teller just...
What are you doing, man?
Oh, guest appearance. I love the Lord of the Rings.
Well, hello, everybody, and hello. Welcome back to From Under a Rock.
Yeah.
No, I'm trying to keep going. It's all Ryan right now.
The podcast where we pick a movie that one or more of us has not seen by now that they should have and watch them, bringing them out from under the proverbial rock.
And this time we got kind of impatient because I deemed like a month and a half the amount of time that they should have seen
this
movie.
You should have seen this movie.
And our pick was It Follows, so stay tuned as we talk about that.
I'm Ryan Evans.
I'm Michael Ornelas.
I'm Steven Zarita.
And I'm James McAvoy. James
Do you know your name?
Also known as McDoodles.
Hi. James McAvoy.
I don't know what. I'm off.
Mac Attack.
I'm usually
Big
off.
Mac Attack. That's when you have too many Big Macs and you get a heart attack. I wouldn't recommend
you're,
it.
You're complaining about not having enough nicknames, but you're gaining more every day.
Yeah, like, seriously, every time
you're
we
gonna
meet,
beat
it's
my
like,
record.
Oh,
yeah.
The Mac Attack.
Mac Attack. Yeah.
Well, the problem, Ryan highlighted earlier that your problem is that your name starts with MC.
Yeah, and there's so many things you can just...
That's a
MC.
Whole... That's
yeah,
a whole other
category opened up.
Instead of McDoodles, what if it was MC
oh,
Doodles?
You mean
MC?
MC
Anelli.
MC Anelli.
Got MC Anelli in the house.
Hey, what's going on,
y'all? Or just MC Nelly.
MC Nelly, yeah. Too.
Nelly in the news.
I just
news.
Need to get a Band-Aid like to cover like this. My
marijuana
brother,
possession.
Nelly in the news Nelly. For drug possession, y'all. Real talk.
Real talk.
Nelly in the
don't
news.
Don't do drugs, kids. Stay out of school.
Stay out
stay
of school.
In school.
Stay in school. Okay. No, I mean, it's like Jaden Smith tweeted out. It's like, oh, if geez. Everybody dropped out of school, think of how intelligent our society would be.
Did he really?
Yeah.
That sounds like a Jaden Smith tweet.
By the way, the TV show At Midnight has done a segment of like, is this a Jaden Smith quote or like an ancient philosophical quote?
Dude, I love At Midnight. When is Chris Hardwick going to join us?
I don't know.
I mean, like, you're in the know.
He's on every podcast, right?
Yeah, exactly.
As far as I know.
Every like, hey, every certified. Podcast, once you're know? A verified podcast, Hardwick comes on, welcomes you to the club, shakes your hand, and does an hour with you.
Yeah. An hour or something. Doesn't necessarily have to be the
podcast. Yeah, no podcasting. We go get smoothies at Jamba Juice.
I mean, I was going to go somewhere else. But.
I know.
Steven.
What's up?
How have you been, sir?
I've been good. We're recording earlier than usual, so I haven't had as many days to come up with good stories. But actually, right before this, I had one of... You ever have one of those moments where just huge coincidences happen, and you're like, there's no way. Like, how does the universe line up like this?
I don't believe in coincidences, Steven.
Just a second ago, Ryan and I ran into one of our bosses on the street corner. We were like, what?
Okay, then this
that's
is a weird
crazy.
Day. Because, Michael, you said something about Magnolia when we were on... A street called Magnolia, but
oh,
that's
no,
not
that
the
was, yeah, that was me. Yeah,
okay, you did right. But like the real coincidence. So Michael got here. This is my apartment. Michael got here earlier than you guys did, and he's in my room and he points out a picture and he's like, "Who's this guy? Is it this person?" I said, "Oh no, you're thinking of some. You must be thinking it's not that person. It's my friend Joel." And I, you know, explained who Joel is, and I haven't heard from Joel in like
years.
3.5 years. I haven't talked to him and I just haven't heard about this or even talked about him in years. 5 minutes later, I get a phone call. It's from a number I don't recognize. I pick up the phone. Hey, Steven, this is Joel. How are you? I was like, and I look at Michael and I was like, I had to ask Joel. I was like, okay, I'm pretty sure someone's pranking me here. And I asked him like one of those questions that only he would know. And he answered
what's
it correctly.
Your name?
Who what's
did
your name?
You murder in the like, summer of 97?
I was like, Joel, what was the show you did in college? And he was like, oh yeah, it was the Night Night Show. Okay. It's you. What are you calling me for? And it was just like, this, like what? Like the one time I talk about him and he calls
That's
out of
weird.
The blue. Yeah. He had a really cool offer. I have to politely decline, but it would have been amazing if I could take it. But dude, Joel, thanks for calling, man.
Tantalizing.
Was it just $4 million?
I just want to give you $4 million. You know, I'm really strapped this week.
No
catchstrings.
No I have to turn that down.
No tricks. No tricks.
No tricks.
But hey, Steven, want to come down to the park and do 900s with me?
No tricks, Yankee. No tricks.
What?
No tricks, Irish.
What'd you just call me?
No tricks.
Yankee.
He calls him Yankee at first, and then he gives him Irish as a nickname.
Speaking of the Yankees, I was just in New York City this past week.
Oh, my gosh.
Nice segue.
1 point for your segue, Ryan.
Yeah, dude. Do I get a point for setting it up?
No.
Oh.
Does the setter-upper ever get points for the segue? No. It's,
no, man. That's cohesion. Well, how was New York?
It was a whole lot of fun. I mentioned on the podcast last week that I was going to New York with my family to watch the Lord of the Rings in concert.
Awesome.
Lord of the Verings?
I said Lord of the Rings.
He did.
Check the tapes. I said Lord of the Rings.
Play it back.
Rewind that shit.
Listener, it's up to you. You have to prove Steven wrong. No, my family and I are all very big Lord of the Rings fans, and we heard about this from a friend and just decided to make a big family event of it. And we're just a bunch of jet setters, as I've been called so many times.
What does that mean?
In the past few days.
What is a jet setter?
Just, you know, rich people who fly off to Paris for the weekend.
Oh,
you know,
those are for like setters. A dinner.
Yeah.
Like,
I never heard that
restaurant.
Term before.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
It's kind of a baby boomer's term, I want to say.
Okay.
It's not like a... It's not relevant really at
all
today.
Well, we'll just go over to New York for the weekend.
Like, I equate it with yuppies, you know?
Okay.
It's like an 80s term, yeah. But yeah, it was really fantastic. Oh, I have a slight mea culpa from last week, though.
Okay.
It was not all three extended versions, like I said. It was just
three.
It was just the theatrical releases.
Okay.
Which is still
much more bearable, though.
They're still at least 3 hours each, you know.
I mean, I would have been psyched.
So was this one 9-hour sitting with intermission,
no,
or was
it
like...
Each
3 PM,
you had to buy
one day.
You had to buy separate tickets for each show.
So did it take
it was three
like the whole weekend?
Different shows.
Kind of?
Yeah, we arrived there late Friday night. Just got to the hotel room and crashed basically.
I cried. I would have cried. I'd be like, "What did
I
sign up for?"
Seen you guys in so long.
New York is so old and dirty. Can't stand it here. We got up and went to Fellowship on Saturday afternoon, went and had dinner, and went to Two Towers Saturday evening.
That must have really worn out the performers. I can't imagine like being in a... Was it the same orchestra both times?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
It's like 6 hours. Of...
Mm-hmm. And they have...
a full day's work. That's crazy.
Well, I mean, they have to learn...
I'm not used to it.
They have to learn 10 hours of music,
yeah.
Which is
yeah,
insane.
That's insane.
And... then you see the director's up there, and he has this little screen in front of him with like this dot that keeps flashing to keep him on tempo as best he can. But he's
epileptic.
He's pretty much he spent most of his time on the floor. The orchestra was trying to keep up with his frantic pace.
It's just a spasm, I think.
No, but he was constantly having to course correct himself for the entirety of all three shows.
Was that jarring at all?
No, it sounded totally fine to me.
Actually, I went to a somewhat similar show at the Hollywood Bowl last year. They had the 25th anniversary of DreamWorks, and it was the LA Philharmonic playing along to like classic DreamWorks scores over visuals of it, and it lined up really well. Mm-hmm. It's such an impressive type of production to see that live music along with a pre-recorded video.
Did they do any Smash Mouth? Smash Mouth is in Shrek, which is a dream.
No, they
picture.
Closed with...
That would be great. And then I saw her face with the trumpets. Now I'm a believer.
That's not Smash Mouth, is it?
I think Smash Mouth.
They covered it for that one.
Oh, well, they did that song, but
okay.
It's not a Smash Mouth cover.
No. What the real Smash Mouth song is, somebody once told me that one.
1 point for accuracy.
Yeah, very nasally.
We are making much more of an effort to be giving out points this week.
Yes.
I know we've been slacking a little bit just because we've been so into the conversations. The discussions have been quite excellent, I think, for these past three episodes. Deep. But Michael,
guys, let's pat ourselves on the back.
All right.
Just
not each other.
No.
I'm just passing it on to you guys.
Michael's going to make more of an effort to dish out this
point. Spearheading this.
And we're going to have a higher point total than 9 today. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we're going to break double digits today? I'm excited.
Michael, anything going on with you?
Yeah, I had a romantic getaway to Coronado in San Diego with my roommate. And we did like romantic s'mores on the beach at sunset. Which they offered unlimited s'mores.
I would have stuffed myself silly.
Trey had 7. I had 3. But
yeah, I'm usually 3.
But it was like... It's funny because it's a really expensive hotel, but this part was part of what I won on a radio contest, so I didn't pay for it. Mm. Turns out that s'mores on the beach, $135.
Are you serious?
For 10 s'mores?
Well, for unlimited.
Oh.
But it's just the experience.
Can't you just buy your own marshmallows?
Fire pit, you have a fire pit on the beach, which, by the way, you can do at most beaches out here for free. Or for the cost of graham crackers, marshmallows, and Hershey's.
And getting there early.
But, like, as I'm leaving, they're like, you can take whatever you want with you. And I was like, sure, give me some more chocolate.
Give me all of the chocolate.
Yeah.
Give me $130 worth of chocolate.
Yeah.
Because that is what you owe me.
But the main thing that I did with my weekend was Saturday night I ended up submitting for a sketch show that was on Sunday night with the... condition or the theme of the show being weird alternative comedy. So I wrote a sketch Saturday night, spent all day Sunday learning the lines, and then went out and performed this thing.
Nice.
And it was weird. I was like a seminar coach or whatever, you know, like those life
inspirational
seminars. Kind of. But the premise was I was telling people about how foreplay in the bedroom could save their life. And throughout the course of it, it kind of comes out that I'm referring to foreplay on the alien overlords that have overthrown the human race and taken them as their sex slaves. And I did that through the use of a couple audience plants asking questions like, yeah, well, why should we care about their pleasure? We're sex slaves and all this stuff. And it actually, I got laughs pretty much everywhere where I was hoping to get laughs. I got laughs in a couple places I didn't expect to get laughs. So, I mean, it went over really well. So, it's a sketch I'll definitely try and perform again somewhere else.
Very cool.
So,
what was the radio contest that you won your romantic getaway with?
Battle of the Sexes on...
104.3. I think it was Dukes.
Dukes.
Oh, really? I was just naming... That sounds like it would be on 104.3.
Yeah.
I've heard that show, I think.
Yeah.
It's like relationship break.
Yeah, it's like 7 a.m. in the morning. They do Battle of the Sexes. They just ask guys girl related things and then girls guy related things, and whoever gets the most questions right wins. And like once every like few months they'll give away like a getaway. Most of the time it's like tickets to something kind of small.
You know, I don't think I've ever met a big radio contest winner before. That's interesting. What do you remember your game winning question?
I don't. Both times I went to tiebreakers because I won two separate contests because this whole weekend was two wins back to back.
Oh, think there'd be like a rule against that? Sometimes you hear fine print like you can only win one contest per year.
Ken Jennings ruined it for everyone.
Yeah.
It's kind of it's an interesting story. I did it with my ex-girlfriend. I called in on the first day and didn't win. This is for our first night in Carlsbad. Mm-hmm. She called in on the second day and didn't win. And then they called her back. Or she mentioned that my boyfriend tried and didn't win also yesterday. And they're like, oh, so you're both losers. And they hung up. And then later that day, they called her back and they tried to have us play against each other for a completely different stay that they had set aside for us. And since I work overnight, I slept through it. So she played against her boss. And her boss won and then gave it to her. And then I booked it. So I'm the one who took the trip. And this is the one to Coronado.
Wow.
And then later in the week, I called back under a different name, using my middle name, and won the original prize to begin with.
Wow, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
I got roped into calling into a radio station calling me for one of those like dating advice shows. Like I'm just in my apartment at college, just minding my own business. And then I get a call from a friend of mine who'd already graduated. he shall remain nameless. And he's like, hey, Steven, okay, so at the radio show I intern at, they really need someone to call in with this question, or they need to talk to someone with this question. I gave them your name and number. They're going to call you in 3 minutes. Here's your name. This is your persona. And I was like, dude, I can't do this. Nope, nope. He was like, not giving me a choice. Like, he's like, they're calling you. Okay, here's everything you need to know. All right, bye. And sure enough, later this guy calls me, and I was like, yeah, I'm just having trouble with my girlfriend because she just like argues all the time. And the guy's like, all right, now I'm going to break it down for you. Here's what you got to do. Okay, you write this down. I was like, okay. You got to remember LDS. And like LDS was like they stood for these steps in this plan to salvage my fictional relationship. I was like, okay, thanks, man. All right. And then who's your favorite radio station? I was like, 105.7, The Mix or something. I don't live here.
Like, that's not our station. I'm like, oh, but you're not my favorite.
It's like, sorry. Yeah. Just being truthful.
It was a horrible experience.
LDS.
Couldn't they have just made it LSD?
Different singles. That
was the theme of this movie, not to jump the gun.
Actually, yeah, it was. But first, what have I been up to, James? Thanks for asking, James. My car has been nothing but a headache for the past year.
I just imagine you doing this podcast solo and just an hour of that.
Yeah.
All right, James, here's your challenge.
Doesn't Marc Maron ask himself questions all the time?
Probably. Yeah, my car, like, nothing really much has been up. My car has just been a total pain in the ass and has been for the past month. And I found out that, actually more than a month, I found out today that it's going to continue to be loud and squealy until, I don't know when, because they couldn't find the source of the problem. And they're just like, yeah, I mean, it still runs, so...
That's
shit.
Horrible.
Yeah, so
you're making it worse
every time,
as you drive.
Every time I start it up now, it just like... Yeah, exactly. It sounds like a raptor. And like to the point where like I'm driving past, like admit, like on my way to work at like 10 p.m., there's a homeless guy like on the bench that's just like looking at me really weird.
And he's like, I wouldn't even drive that thing.
He's like, by comparison, I have my shit together. I mean...
You see a hitchhiker and you pull over and then he waves you. He's like, no, not you. No.
No, it brings too much attention to itself. It goes away after after I speed up a bit. But yeah, that's the state of my car for a while now.
Speaking of an interesting experience, when we were walking into the movie theater to see It Follows just now, we were at the Lamely Theater in NoHo, and I was just kind of, you know, we were a little bit early. I was just walking down the hallway, looking at the artwork that they have hanging on the walls, and I hear this guy behind me say, check out the symmetry on this one, or look at the symmetry on this one. I turn around and it's just this like really like gray-haired, like really short, kind of stooped dude. He was like, his head was like...
What a weird way to describe a person. A stooped dude.
He was stooped.
Stoop boys afraid to leave.
I don't know how
stoop.
Else. I don't know how to describe it. Yeah. He was wearing a vest and he had like long gray hair, and I was like, oh yeah, it's beautiful. The symmetry is fantastic.
This was just today.
Yeah, this was just now. And he sees my shirt, which you on the video you can see it's for the subreddit r kappa. Uh-huh. And it's got this like a compass. You know,
mathematical compass.
Like a mathematical compass.
And triangles.
And lots of triangles. And he says, he looks at me. It looks kind of like an Illuminati.
Yeah, it does, actually.
Sort of thing. And he sees my shirt and he points at it and he says, so are you a Mason then?
Did you say yes?
I didn't know.
Oh,
I was like,
bye.
No. It's just an... internet subgroup. I was like really fumbling trying to explain R kappa to him.
He just brushed
and he's
death.
Like, oh, right on. And then he fist bumps me and just walks away.
Just a
God.
Stupid
if you
fist
had
bump.
Said yes, who knows what kind of crazy meetings you
what
would
kind
have
of
been
doors
invited
that would
to
have opened.
Yeah,
well, Michael said he was afraid for my life.
Well, yeah, I like walked past and was like, I'm gonna pretend I have no idea who this guy is, but I'm gonna watch from a distance in case I need to intervene.
Did he follow you into the theater? Or
no,
he...
Ryan turned back around, and then the guy was just a cloud of dust.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that.
Weird pretense for the movie.
That was the actual interesting part of the story.
Right, for real?
No, because
not cloud of dust, but was he just not there? Like maybe just turned a corner.
No, it was actually really awkward because we started walking in the same direction for a little bit.
So he did follow you.
No, I followed him. I am the follower now. Wait, wrong movie.
Wrong.
We watched It Follows this week on the suggestion of Michael, as mentioned previously.
Mm-hmm.
So why did you decide that this was this needed to be the time where we the first time we go out and see a movie in theaters?
I loved this movie the first time I saw it. I just was like, man, I want this to become a popular movie. I think it could be one of the best movies I see this year, despite it being so early in the year. And I'm always impressed by good horror because it nowadays it's kind of far and few between. So I figured
few and far.
Whenever I think of whenever
one
I think of
point.
To or against?
You'll find
out. Yeah, I'll find out.
When I think of modern horror, I think of...
jump scares.
Well, what's Michael Bay's production house that did like the Nightmare on Elm Street remake?
Oh, I don't know.
The new Friday the 13th.
Is it the same production house that does Transformers, or does he have a separate one?
I think it's a different one. I think it's a horror movie banner.
I can't guess it.
If you wouldn't mind looking up for us.
Oh, yeah, I guess I can do that. I have a computer right here.
But I think of that kind of stuff, which is, very CG heavy as opposed to their original counterparts, which are very practical effects.
Platinum Dunes.
It doesn't sound familiar, but
that sounds like Michael Bay. Platinum.
But this movie, It Follows, it was an effort by a relatively new director, David Robert Mitchell, I think, or Robert David Mitchell.
Sounds right, at least.
Mitchell, David Roberts.
David Robert Mitchell. DRM.
Who just did a fantastic job with, very few effects, both CGI and practical.
Right.
It was very much a suspenseful film rather than a shock horror film. Mm-hmm. You do see a couple of times a couple of the victims of the creature, the succubus.
Right.
But for the most part, it's just, as the title suggests, following.
So, Michael, you brought this movie to the table. Can you give us just a brief, Ryan kind of said it right there, but just the brief synopsis of the plot?
Yeah, a girl is kind of seeing a guy. They sleep together, and then he kind of knocks her out with chloroform, ties her up just to inform her, hey, I just gave you this thing via that sex, and it's going to be following you. It's going to look like someone you know or like a stranger.
I wish you had written this movie now.
Yeah.
I just gave you this thing via that sex.
Speaking of, how was it? Was like on a scale of 1 to 10.
How was my sex? He just kind of lays it out like this thing's going to follow you. The only thing you can really do to get rid of it is to pass it on to someone else by sleeping with them. It should be easy for you. You're a girl. That's kind of insulting, but he says it.
So, given a premise like that, well, first of all, I'll say it is kind of the oldest premise in horror film history.
Oh, yeah. It's linking horror with sex.
Teenage sex, specifically.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, I would have called this movie, if I was the one who wrote it, I would have called it ST Demon.
Yes.
Did you write that movie Unfriended?
Michael, give yourself a point.
No, but I am going to give myself a point, even before you suggested that, Steven.
What was I saying?
Have I seen
about STDs?
No.
Teenage sex.
Yeah, teenage sex. It's a very on the nose literal interpretation of that old
horror trope
of the people that have sex are going to get it first.
Mm-hmm.
Which reminds me of one of my very favorite horror movies, Cabin in the Woods, where mm-hmm. Isn't it the They're first death is they are that, out yeah. in the woods having sex?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's Cabin in the Woods was parodying a very real trope in classic horror movies. Which this Speaking of which, this actually felt very much like a classic horror movie to me.
Yeah.
It, but for a very few things, this could have been set in the 1980s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Down to the clothing and hairstyles.
The
and
seashell Kindle. Could not have been in the 80s.
I need to.
That was one of a few things.
Yeah.
That's like the one thing.
And then, like, you'll notice when the main character Jay is out with Hugh at that movie theater, there's like an old like organ piano mm-hmm. player, but her sheet music is like on like a touch screen.
Right. Oh, I didn't see the touch.
Really? I didn't notice that either. Yeah.
It's like one of those towns that just kind of got lost in time. Mm-hmm. Like it was middle of nowhere, middle America, farm towns.
It's mm-hmm. Detroit.
Was it?
Well,
it
is. Detroit's definitely been left back somewhere.
Right.
No, it's not. I think it's
a suburb of Detroit.
No, yeah, I think it might be. It's a made up town mm-hmm. in Michigan, though. So yeah, it really takes much like Cabin in the Woods did. It takes horror tropes and kind of turns them on their head in a very different way, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I specifically like the way that this movie makes use of framing and space and depth of field.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
The focus, the soft focus, mm-hmm. and like you seeing something in the distance.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the coolest features about this movie to me, because mm-hmm. if you're a fan of like blood and gore type horror movies, this isn't for you. But mm-hmm. if you like movies that are just like, I just feel anxious when I watch this movie. Even a second time, knowing when things are coming, I'm just sitting there and I'm like fidgeting in my seat and I'm anxious. And I mean, I think that speaks to how well this movie is not just written, but shot.
I was definitely not quite as anxious as I was watching it the first time.
I wasn't either, but I still had.
Right. But I do distinctly remember my first time watching it and thinking of just how good a job they were doing mm-hmm. With lining up the timings on everything. And I feel like they almost must have had to draw out a map of the city and say like, okay, they're going to drive across town to, or they're going to drive over to Greg's beach house and let's figure out how long it's going to take for the creature to walk that far, you know?
Yeah.
And it feels very realistic in that way.
Like whenever they get some distance in between them, you know, they buy themselves some time. Mm-hmm.
You know, she sleeps with Greg and then he goes and sleeps with somebody else. How much time would it take it to go and kill and work its way back down the line?
You know? Right. Yeah. There's the, I haven't seen it in 3 days. I don't even know if this thing's real. We'll find out what it was. Like, yeah, that.
Does Greg sleep with someone after she sleeps with her?
Because
he doesn't mention it. You think he would come in and be like, well, I pass it on to someone else.
Well,
so we're fine.
The other implied thing is that Jay sleeps with those guys on the boat.
Yeah. Well, that was really easy to follow. And
follow. There's a few, those two instances. Mm-hmm. And I like that they're understated.
I think that, you know, Greg doesn't tell her that he slept with someone else, one, because he doesn't believe it's real, and two, because he wants to hook up with her again. And if he tells her, I went and slept with somebody else, mm-hmm. then that would ruin his chances a little
bit. But to her, she'd be like, okay, good, you just put more distance
exactly,
between us.
But
he just didn't get it, though.
He just didn't believe it.
What was the name? Hugh? Was that the original, one of his names?
That was his fake name.
His fake name.
Jeff is his real name.
I mean, he did her a favor by chaining her up and making her see it, because she didn't, you know, she sleeps with Greg and's like, hey, this thing's going to follow you. And of course, he's never seen the effects of it, so he doesn't believe it. Hugh made it to where she has to believe that this thing is coming for her.
I think Jeff got really lucky in that he picked someone who was going to be very conscientious in avoiding the thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they sleep with, you know, some hookers at the end mm-hmm. and, you know, those dudes on the boat, and it doesn't take very long for the creature to
get back to them.
You know, Jeff is like really safe because she is doing a great job of getting away from it.
He's like, man, this is what like having a normal life is
By the way, I like the, what at least I interpreted to be a tie-in to the opening scene of the movie with Jeff. The girl running out of her house from her dad, just the camera following, and she ends up with her legs snapped on a beach.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And then a few minutes later, probably 10, 15 minutes later, you see Hugh or Jeff in the movie theater,
and
he sees the girl.
About why the girl in yellow? Only he sees.
Oh,
because
he had slept with her.
He had slept with her, but he didn't prepare her the right way.
Right, and then now it's back to him.
See, I never even thought about that.
Oh yeah. No, I love that because that totally explains why.
Why it's back at him and
why
he's surprised.
Safe. He thinks you know. I was, that's why he's surprised because he thought he was safe.
I was wondering why he felt so secure.
Which like, kind.
Yeah,
it kind of was just a badass.
Right. Well, it brings up this really interesting thing because, I mean, this movie's open to interpretation in a lot of ways because it doesn't show you a lot of things. Maybe he did sleep with those hookers. Maybe he didn't. Maybe Greg
slept with someone else. Yeah.
But you never know.
That guy has so much game. Of course,
he
did.
Yeah,
he looks just like Jack White.
But you can. It's open to interpretation because the film doesn't explicitly tell you, like with the other instances, but. Interesting thing about Hugh, what's his real name, Jeff? I'm going to call him Jeff. If he truly thought he was out of the woods, then he was just on like a normal date at the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then he must have been like, oh, well, this girl's going to have to do. And then he sleeps with her and passes it on to her. But it's just interesting.
I think that's very much what it is. I don't think he targeted her as a victim. I think he was interested. And then he was like, oh, well... I have to, for my own survival, I have to turn this into passing the thing on.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, but it's interesting that he's still operating under a fake name and stuff. I don't know. It's open to interpretation. I think it could go either way.
Yeah.
Because he's still going as Hugh.
And he was living in the fake house at the time. That really smells like he was targeting her.
Yeah.
To me.
Okay. I mean, I guess like a lot of things, it could be interpreted either way.
Maybe this has happened with several girls, so he knows he's maybe not completely out of the woods, you know?
Right.
So maybe he just keeps this up. Maybe this is just, he just has to live like this.
But he still tries
to
live at home. When he passes it on to Jay, he goes back to living at home.
Well, maybe this is the first time he showed the girl.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why we watch this girl is because this is the first girl to take it seriously.
Right.
You were saying, Michael, that you know if you're a fan of gory sort of horror, this might not be for you. And I'm not a fan of gory horror.
Okay.
That knee break, though.
Yeah, that knee break, that like in the beginning, though. So I was like, ooh, cool. Right? I was like, that looks awesome.
Broken bones. There's a broken bone in the trailer for this before this movie, and I was like, I can't do that.
Really?
Yeah,
I can't. The kung fu movie. Go on.
What I will say is, this was my first viewing, and. And I was definitely anxious at some parts, but it wasn't as scary as I was expecting it to be. I still really enjoyed it, and I thought for a lower budget movie, it was fantastically done. The scariest part for me, and I mentioned this to Ryan on the car ride back, actually, the scariest part for me was when she first bursts into the kitchen, or it breaks into the kitchen.
Right.
She turns the corner and she sees it, and it's like this crazy looking girl with like urinating all over herself.
Yeah.
That was terrifying, especially because that's when like one of the many times actually that the score like swells to amplify the terror of what's going on.
So mentioning the score, one thing I really appreciated in this movie was that they never used the score to highlight something that isn't the thing following.
Yeah.
They build suspense, but they're not going to... It's almost as if it kind of has the right payoff.
Yeah,
yeah, it's like... Because when she was just getting home and she was in her bathroom looking in the mirror down her underwear, and then all of a sudden...
Boom.
There's a dodgeball that hits her window. If you pay attention to the score, there's not... Like, it's... kind of building to something, but it's not implying that she's in immediate danger.
Right.
It's just more of a startle, but not to me, a jump scare is when it leads you to believe it's going to be the thing and then pays it off as something else.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a squirrel. Oh, it was a cat making all that noise. Right. Something. Yeah.
I really liked the score. I found it at first distracting because it was so synthesized and bubbly, like not bubbly in like a happy-go-lucky sense, but like a lot of the sounds were just sort of like echoey and almost felt like pizzicato strings, but like amped in some way. But after getting used to it, I found that I actually really enjoyed the score, and I thought that it was so unique. It reminded me a lot of Drive, actually. The score for Drive.
I actually had the exact same thought. I'm going to give you a point for...
Yeah.
So I'm curious if you guys played the game Fez.
I did with you for a little while, but I didn't ever beat it or own it myself.
Fez has one of my favorite video game soundtracks of all time, and Disaster Piece, the composer, also did this movie.
Oh, really?
Interestingly enough, yeah.
That's cool.
And I was telling James, I sort of noticed it right away, just because I guess you weren't as familiar with the Fez soundtrack as I was.
Right.
I still listen to it pretty often, but it's the exact same tools that he's working with, the same sounding fake
almost
digital
like
instruments.
MIDI
yeah,
type
yeah,
exactly.
yeah.
feel.
Yeah. Very, very similar. Consistent style with this artist, and I am a huge fan of his.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did a fantastic job, and this it really also lent to the theme of, you know, the movie taking place in the 80s almost.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. There were definitely being a throwback horror movie.
There were definitely a lot of things that I even felt were similar to like horror class. Like the theme itself, the main theme that you hear. Reminds me of, I think it's Halloween, like that little piano riff. Yeah, that. I think of that a lot when I hear the music that they play to kind of highlight the thing.
It's also a very similar sort of origins, you know, like a lower budget, like who knows if this is going to, you know, take off, which it did. And I think that it follows. Isn't it going to wider release? At some point,
yeah,
soon?
And there might be a sequel.
But I'm just saying that, like,
eventually, yeah,
they're coming from the same place, and therefore, like, I feel like there's a lot of similarities to be drawn.
Yeah.
And while the score here wasn't as catchy, I would say, like, there wasn't like something you could hum. I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't. I can't remember what.
Watch me.
Okay. It sounds like you're just punching a cat.
Is this Psycho?
Almost. It definitely reminds me of that a little.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you take the Psycho soundtrack and just like add a bunch of effects and that's what you get.
Kinda, yeah. There's also a lot of
that's actually a really common one.
So Ryan, I want to go back and give you a point. I'm about to reference a blog that I read their review of It Follows. And they actually said something very similar to a point you made about how it's essentially as this blog entry, it's Oh That Film blog by Amy Andrews, says that the film or the premise is essentially a genre-fied metaphor for teenage sex fear and the snowballing nature of sexually transmitted disease, and kind of how that's very active in the horror genre. She had one other. She didn't love the movie as an all-time classic or wouldn't put in that, but she liked it. There's a sentiment expressed in here I want to see if you guys agree with.
Okay.
Despite many critics calling it one of the most affecting and frightening films in recent time, I found very little within the picture that raised my blood pressure or forced me to hide my eyes behind my hands, and because of this, I was left with an overwhelming feeling of anticlimax.
I have to agree. I don't think I would call this movie a classic. It's definitely an homage to the classics. It's done in the style of the classics. But me personally, it just didn't scare me that much.
Right.
And it also kind of reminded me of the Final Destination series, where in the Final Destination, if you save somebody, the death skips over you. And this one, if you sleep with someone, it passes it on to them.
Mm-hmm.
But in both movies, there are situations or rules in which death will come back to you. And both movies end with the couple have to look out for each other in both movies. So maybe it was also subtly paying homage to that, but it was just kind of, yeah, it's great in its simplicity in that it's not a gore fest. It's not doing these jump scares. It's not doing all this, all these really worn out tropes that you see today in horror that ruins the genre. But also it was just a little too simple for me to really scare me. I mean, on the way here, Michael, you said this is one of those movies that won't keep me up at night because it won't really affect me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
it's
like
a very specific thing you would worry about. Yeah. Watching someone walk straight towards you doesn't really happen when you're in the comfort of your own
home. If this was like a movie where the thing lives in the shadows or something, that's one of those things where you're like, oh, I'm afraid to turn the lights off at night,
right.
You know? Mm-hmm. Or I'm afraid to go into the dryer in the basement or something.
Why are you going into the dryer?
Because, I don't know, man.
While I wouldn't go so far as to say an overwhelming sense of anticlimax, I will say, as I said before, I wasn't terribly afraid of, you know, the creature or what was happening, except for maybe one or two instances that really, you know, made the
When it was like right on her?
Yeah. There are only a few instances where I was like, actually, I felt my like my heart rate increasing or whatever. That being said, I mean, I wouldn't go so far as to say overwhelmingly anticlimactic. Mm-hmm. I felt that the ending was abrupt. I was expecting it to end at the pool scene. When
she's staring in and you see all the blood. Yeah. And then you expect the title of the movie to show up on screen and go to credits.
Too, yeah. You know, something else that actually was kind of bugging me was, they ask, who is it? What do you see? And she says, I don't want to tell you. I was expecting something like horrifying,
but it was just her dad.
It was her dad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize that until after the fact when they showed the picture.
Yeah. Which is what.
Yeah. I think it could have paid off a little better by actually showing you what the dad looks like.
It did.
More directly, a better look at him, make him a familiar face.
It
showed the family photos like at least twice beforehand. Oh. I want to say.
Really? Cause no. I must have just missed them.
It was still
but both those times. My eyes were drawn to her in the pool because it in that same shot. It was her in the pool.
I think so,
and
yeah.
Below picture, that was her
yeah.
family picture.
Yeah.
So your eye is drawn to drawn there because it's her.
Or if they had mentioned some point, you know, like dad left or something.
I don't think I picked up on it right away the first time I saw it either. But going back and watching it a second time,
It's clear that there's something wrong with the household even before the creature becomes a part of it. Like the mom's like usually drinking
herself to sleep every
night. And yeah, so it's like clearly there's something wrong. But even an offhanded I'm sorry about your dad or dad left or whatever would have I felt like formed that idea in your mind earlier to where okay, because at first I was just like, who's this guy? I was expecting something gruesome or terrifying.
So Michael mentioned the thing very briefly earlier. And
the movie The Thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And like The Thing, this movie sets up that impersonation is going to be kind of a big deal, that it can look like anyone. It can look like people you know to get close to you. Doesn't really happen too much, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, the creature literally just walks. It happens to look like something, but it doesn't use it to its advantage.
That premise is not used to its fullest extent, I want to say.
Yeah, that's why I thought the whole, I don't want to tell you what it looks like thing didn't pay out. Like, okay, it looks like her dad now. What if it doesn't talk, but like, you know, if it had talked and, okay, follow me. Terminator. Follow me. Don't follow me. Follow us on Facebook, guys. Uh-huh. In Terminator, the Terminator can shapeshift and look like people, but then it'll also sound like those people, and you play on your emotions by pretending to be your mom and getting you to come this way. And that's not what this movie is, but in Terminator, it uses the whole shapeshifting thing to its advantage much more.
Right, and you feel like you're learning the rules as it goes along. And I was expecting, actually, like you said, them to explore the idea of like it kind of using subterfuge to get into your household and like trick you into
trickery.
The counterpoint to this is it tries to trick Jay by looking like Greg walking home, and then she realizes something's wrong when she sees him breaking into his own house. Then it takes the form of his mom to him. It also takes the form of her friend who has the seashell phone.
Right.
See, that is more to trick us, the audience, though.
That's true.
Because,
yeah.
Which is also kind of an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Because at that point, Jay is the only one in that group that can see the thing, and she's not even looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that it looks like her friend is only meant to trick us, which I think is kind of interesting.
I think the time it's used best is with Greg.
Right.
When he's walking outside, because that does trick Jay until she sees him break in. And then that's also the giveaway that gives us our only scene where we actually get to see what happens when the thing catches up to the person.
Well, is it really trying to trick her, or is it trying to? Because at that point, it's not following her.
Yeah,
anymore.
I was under the
impression. No, but she can still see it.
But I'm just saying that
it's not trying to trick her, but it maybe alarms her that that's the thing. Not
where she doesn't go and warn Greg in time.
Well, she would have done it regardless of what it looked like. But if it looked like somebody else completely, and it was trying to break into Greg's house, she would have gone over to Greg's house, you know?
Okay. The rules on that scene are, it is kind of fudgy, because, it's following someone else. Why would it try to trick her? It's convenient for the audience for it to try and trick her, because we're also like, is that the real guy or is that the it? But if like I was thinking about the rules of this monster, and like you were saying, Ryan, it's like they mapped that out and saw how long it would take you to walk from point A to point B and catch up with them.
Actually, they probably just put the address in the iPhone map and then changed it to walking directions. It's like, oh, it says.
But it's not a real town that this takes place in. So
okay.
Well, I was thinking on the way home, like, okay, given the rules, because it does set up the rules for this monster, like, how would I get rid of this? I would live on, like, both coasts. Yeah. And calculate however long it takes, however many months it takes to walk, and then, like, right around that week, just fly to the other one.
This movie begs you to come up with ways of getting rid of it. I think I have a pretty good one, too.
Yeah.
Please indulge us.
Well, it's not my challenge, but I'm totally willing to just hear these out, because I'm curious.
Okay. So the Earth is not 100% encircled by land. So you go and move to China or something, and it's going to have to like walk under the ocean to get to you, which could take years.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you just hop, you move to the opposite side of the world. You live there for a year. You pick everything up and move back, you know?
I had an interesting way to get rid of the monster.
I'll give you a point for that. Right. By the way, Steven, I gave you 2 points earlier for going against the grain and calling it not an all-time class, or basically agreeing with the blog I brought up.
I agreed with it.
He did it first.
Okay.
Boom.
So everybody's, you know, all. I'm going to treat this as if it's a challenge, even though it's not. So everybody's trying
keep
to
keep it more truncated.
What does that mean?
Shorter.
Okay. Everybody's like, where is it? Where is it? We can't see it. Obviously, you have an orgy with all of your friends and sister.
Whoa.
So everybody can see it then. And then you're like safe. And everybody just sticks
together. No. You need at least one person who can't see it. So that way you can check to see if it's just a random person walking to you.
Okay, so leave the sister out of it.
No, but the sister.
Okay, keep the sister in it. And then Greg or somebody can. I'm just saying.
I was. James, I'm gonna take away a point.
I was thinking about a sequel and you know, interesting ways that they could you know, they start the movie on an entirely new protagonist who starts the thing following them, and then they start to trace back the line, you know, try and figure out who started it all or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they find this, you know, the next in line is this girl. And then the next in line after that is Jay, and it's like, oh man, what is she was experimenting a little bit? I don't know. It's just.
I was really like, oh, don't do it when she was like getting into the water to go like swim out to those guys on the boat. I was like, no, don't do that. That's gross. Who knows who those guys are? She's lucky that they didn't kill her, because who knows who the hell they are. They're just dudes on a boat out in the middle of nowhere. Dudes.
They're not going to kill. They may.
How do you know that?
I don't.
It could easily be worse than the thing that
is. What if when she was driving back from that scene, you see she's driving home, you know, she starts walking out toward the boat, and then the next shot is her driving with tears in her eyes. Mm-hmm. What if she's crying because they rejected her?
So it's just like, no, following. Lady, we're gay. Sorry, we don't. we don't want that.
We all just wanted to have sex with each other.
Yeah,
on this
we
boat.
Were just gonna have sex with each other out on this boat. But good luck with that. She does the swim of shame away.
The swim of shame. I'll give you a point back.
Yes, got it back.
Steven, what was your plan to get rid of the thing?
Oh, my other plan was okay. It establishes that this thing walks. It's kind of bound by physical laws. And a lot of like human laws. It happens to be super strong, but it still just walks. And they kind of had the right idea with lure it into a pool, but it kind of saw the trick, kind of. Or maybe it just like, oh, hey, maybe I can kill it by throwing this TV at her.
Well, it's like the guy said, it's slow, not dumb.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, then you got to do this on your first try. You got to get in one. You got to build a room that is like a giant bowl. And then the walls just go impossibly high, and it's all like coated with Teflon. Uh-huh. You lure the thing in, it falls into the bowl.
It
follows you into the bowl, and then your friends lift you out, but now it's stuck because it can only walk out. It can't get out. Just trap the thing. Uh-huh. Like, could you trap the thing? I don't think you could tie it up with chains. It has super strength. but it still just walks
out. Your idea is at least a lot smarter than the one I came up with. I'm like, why doesn't she just build a glass case around herself? Or not glass, but like an indestructible case around herself. But then she can't live her life.
Yeah.
What if you had? I'm
gonna give you 2 points.
What if you had sex with like this Lothario who gets laid so fast that he wouldn't even notice he was being followed?
Dude, what if it got into the porn industry?
That's what I'm saying, man.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how? Well, no, it would. Oh, it would just keep like before he even got to. First I was gonna be like, but then like all the porn stars would have. No, they're
dude,
they're sleeping.
Porn stars die off at young anyways.
Yeah, but it'd be bouncing. They'd be bouncing around so fast, it would never have time to get to a person.
guys, we fixed it. Follows.
No, we I was found thinking. It out. Yeah.
Okay, so I want to reference one more blog. Trent from Pink is the New Blog.
Interesting name.
Yeah. He actually said he was as impressed with this movie as he was with the Blair Witch Project when it came out, in terms of being kind of on the revolutionary side.
Right.
Trying something new. Yeah. Yeah, I'll give it that.
And he was saying, and also in the Blair Witch, there isn't gore and stuff, and a lot of people, it was just built on the suspense.
Yeah.
So he's drawing comparisons.
And it plays a lot off of the emotions of your characters, namely the girl who's like, oh, it's right there, you know, and the Blair Witch, we never really see it, but you see them like freaking out and like, what's happening? Right. What is that, man?
Well, for me, and I may have mentioned this in a previous episode or something, but I felt that like one of the scarier movies that I've seen in recent memory was The Conjuring, which also manages to do it without a whole lot of gore and blood.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's more of a movie, and it might just be because of what I personally find scary, which is paranormal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's also just one of the better horror movies to come out recently. And while this one didn't scare me as much, I feel like what they pulled off with the limited resources that they had is just as acknowledgeable, I guess.
Yeah. No, it was great. And then one other thing, it's not even a discussion topic, just a fun fact. Apparently this movie was going to have a limited release in L.A. and New York and then go straight to a video on demand release.
Oh, really?
Video on demand got canceled because there was such a demand for it to be in theaters nationwide.
Hmm.
It was so demanded that they canceled the on demand release.
That's supply and demand. Who for does, you. Sir?
I hope Hollywood listens to that. Like, maybe I might not think this is the best movie, but if this simple movie that does horror right can get all this demand, I hope Hollywood looks at that and just changes the way they do horror. Because can you imagine what these bigger budget movies could do with this kind of an idea, with this kind of a strategy? I think it would,
for sure,
it would take us back to the classic era.
Yeah.
Ratings.
Let's do it. Who wants to go first? Ryan, you've seen it.
The camera's on you, though.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, Steven.
All right. Well, I kind of said before, I wouldn't call this a classic. It's done in the style of the classics. Not too scary, a little too simple. I'll sleep fine tonight. Solid, but doesn't quite get up there. I'm going to give it a B+.
Okay.
James, you're the other one who hasn't seen it.
Definitely solid, definitely enjoyable, and I would like to introduce it to a lot more of my friends who haven't seen it yet.
By
sleeping with them, yes. You've caught on to my strategy. I feel like this is something that a lot of people should see and a lot of people should enjoy, even if you're not a huge fan of the horror genre. I feel like if you're a fan of film, this is just a good example of how you do a movie with, you know, what you've got. And the scores I thought was really cool. And while it wasn't terrifying to me, there were definitely a lot of parts that left me anxious and uncomfortable. Yeah. And that's really the whole thing. Building suspense. So I will give it a B.
Ryan?
I do think that James, you had a good point that this is kind of a filmmaker's horror movie, for sure, and I'm totally fine with that, being a filmmaker myself, as we all are, I think, to a certain extent. I think the pure enjoyment of this movie extends beyond that, though, just given its genre and its basic premise. It's a very simple premise, which is very well executed, very well done. I think that, you know, in terms of the imitation aspect, some of the some of the rules of the game that it introduces are not quite explored to their fullest extent. But overall, I greatly enjoyed it. I thought it was really intense, and I'm going to give it an A-.
What about you, Bourbon?
I liked this movie more the first time I saw it, but not enough to... I didn't like it less enough to change my rating from when I first walked in. I think it's a very solidly built film. I think one of the best compliments, but it's so backhanded, that you can give to a horror film is it was a good movie, not just a good horror movie.
Right.
But I totally feel that way about this. I feel that this will be one of the better movies I see all year. Granted, we do have a pretty fun year ahead of us.
Mad Max.
Oh, yeah.
Jurassic World, Age of Ultron,
Star Wars. No one cares. Oh, I thought that was the subtitle of Jurassic. Yeah.
Guys, Jurassic World, forget all those other movies. Mad Max is where it's at. You're just going to have to trust me.
Hey, that's a movie I haven't seen. The original.
I haven't either. But I've heard 2 is the one that you want to see.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyways. My rating for this is the same as Ryan's. I give it an A-, which leaves us at an average of AB+.
Sweet.
AB+.
AB+.
Sorry about that.
So
cool.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing it to us, Michael.
Of course. Do you guys feel it was a worthy?
Oh, absolutely.
Addition to this.
Yeah. It's refreshing.
I want to do. I want to do more theater release stuff with you guys.
We should. We should.
I have to put my foot down. No Star Wars 7, 8, 9.
Oh, spin-offs. Come on.
Also, I've still got this.
That $20 is still on the line.
60.
Was it 60?
Well, 20 for each of
them. Oh, okay.
But like that's
I don't
like,
remember that, but I'll abide by it. Either way, I'm gonna see it and love it.
Yeah.
So you guys
We had a little preview of a challenge earlier. What say we get into the real challenge?
Challenge,
the challenge,
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 sex.
What's the challenge,
it's
Michael?
A challenge.
All right, guys. You are all going to have 2 opportunities to participate in this challenge out of 3 interactions. What do you do when you get an STD? You call your exes. You let them know. And you tell them to get tested. Well, Ryan, your ex is Steven. You're going to call Steven, and you two are going to interact, and you're going to tell him he may want to get tested for demons. Steven, James is your ex. You're going to call him, and you're going to inform him that he should get tested for demons. And James, in a weird twist, you guys had a love triangle unknowingly. Ryan is your ex. You're going to call him, let him know that... he has demons. Feel free to, if you're the one receiving this news, feel free to interact back. It's a 2-way street, and you can both get points on all the
Okay,
same
so
thing.
We're getting tested for demons, or we should get
no,
tested
No, you
for
have you are positive for demons.
Okay.
So you have this thing, and you have to call your ex and be like, hey, I don't know at what point in the line I got this.
Okay.
So you may have it.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Who's calling first?
Who wants to? Okay.
I'll call Steven
Ryan,
first if he's ready. All right. Oh man.
Steven, put your toy down.
Oh man, that was the weirdest doctor's visit ever. I can't believe he tied me to the chair like that, just to give me that news. It was kind of intense news though. Boop 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 boop.
I'm just sitting here at home.
Boop. It's ringing.
That's my ringtone, guys. Steven Zarita. Steven Stupin, Suburban the Burb, Zarita the Jerk.
Hey, hey, Steven.
What's up, Ryan? Yes,
hey,
Ryan.
Hey, man, how have you been?
I'm good. Just sitting at home with my stuff.
Great. Yeah, I'm glad to hear you're doing well. You seeing anyone lately?
Yeah, I've been seeing somebody, yeah.
Okay. Very happy for you.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
I'm glad to hear you've moved on.
It's been a while, yeah. I'm pretty surprised that you're calling me actually. It's been like a year, man. What's the deal?
I just had to tell you, man. I just got I'll just tell you. I just got tested for demons, and I've got them. I've got demons.
I kind of knew that. You're always drinking. So yeah, I'd say you've got demons.
No,
man.
those were my father's demons. That's not. No, this is a literal demon, a succubus from hell. That was following me around. It's probably following you around now. If you ever see anything walking towards you,
I mean, I've got stalkers, but maybe it's one of them.
Maybe this is probably the most unusual stalker you'll ever have.
Oh,
anyway, I just
it was her.
Anyway, oh. Man. You know,
I always thought something was up with that one.
I'm glad to hear you're doing okay. I just want to...
Well, not anymore.
Look, man, I'm really sorry. If I had known, you know... Do you want to get some coffee sometime?
No, that's how this whole thing started in the first place, man.
And scene. Okay. Okay. You're going to have to let me borrow your phone. I don't have mine with me.
We're not actually calling
each
other.
No, I need okay. the physical support.
I want to hand out some points real quick.
Okay.
Ryan, you actually played that with the amount of gravity that I was hoping to see. I'm going to give you 7 points for that.
Whoa.
Hey. Steven, you didn't exactly take it super seriously. It was more jokey. I want you guys to play these super real. Since I didn't tell you that that's how I want these played, I'm going to not give you that few of points, but I'm going to give you... 3 points for the way you reacted to him.
Okay.
All right. You call me.
Beep, boop, bop, boop, beep, bop, boop, beep. How many digits was that? Call.
I'm not here.
Bring, bring. Bring, bring. Bring, bring. Bring, beep, beep.
Can you do the message thing? Or did you just straight up hang
up
on me?
I hung up on you. Call me again. Call me again. Come
well,
on.
I guess he's dead. Scene. Star 69, then the rest of his number.
Bring, bring.
I think you put it at the end.
Steven, I know it's you. What the fuck
James!
Do you want?
Is there anybody around you right now?
Are you asking me if I'm single? My God, are there no lows you won't stoop
Where
to?
Where are you?
I'm in my house.
You need to
what,
get
what
up.
Do you want?
You need to, okay, look. I'm going to be quick. All right. There's this thing that's been following me.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
This thing.
It looks like a person, but it's some sort of evil demon thing, all right?
And, all right.
And I think...
Steven, I think are I, you high? Are you high right now?
I was, and that's when I made this whole mistake in the first place.
Oh my God.
But look, this thing is coming after you.
This is I classic you.
I passed it on to you, along with maybe a couple other things. So yes, this is
hold
classic.
Hold on, hold on. Are you saying you have demons?
Are
you fucking serious right now?
One.
You
demon.
Have demons.
Well, the thing is, you have it now, and it's going to follow you.
Uh huh.
And it's
oh my God,
Steven, Steven. Oh my God! Ah!
I think it's coming for you, James. James.
Did we just both die?
You guys are in the same room. You can talk this out face to face.
Oh.
You're changing up all the rules,
what's going
man.
On now?
I really don't know what's happening.
All right, and scene.
Okay. Steven, you played it more seriously this time. I'm going to give you 5 points.
All right.
And James... You got some catching up to do. You're gonna have to hit hard. I'm gonna give you also 3 points for the way that you took that call.
Well, you didn't take the call.
I apologize
at
for
first.
Nothing. He was the one who broke my heart.
That's me.
All right.
It's time,
James.
Bring, bring. Bring, bring. Bring, bring.
Hello?
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, James.
Hey, how are you doing?
Sorry, no, you go sorry, first. Go ahead. I'm great. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah,
How are you doing?
I'm okay. I wanted to call and let you know that. I'm just gonna put it out there. I have demons. And what? I think that maybe you should get yourself tested. And I'm really sorry.
James,
I'm sure it's probably nothing. I'm sure it's just me. I might have gotten it. You remember who I cheated on you with? I'm pretty sure it was her. So you're probably okay.
James, it's okay. James, honey, it's okay. We can work this out.
I'm bad for you. It's not going to work out.
James, I don't care if you have demons. I want to be with you.
Ryan.
I want to be with you.
Ryan, I don't really have demons. I just wanted to know that you'd stay.
You son of a...
Wait, don't hang up.
Well, James, you are lying because you do have demons. James, I'm going to give you 4 points for that. Ryan, I'm going to give you 4 points for that. The best outing was your original call to Steven. So let's see.
What's the tally?
Let's see what these add up to. 3 + 3 + 5 for Steven is 11.
Oh, okay.
For James, 4 + 4 + 3 is also 11. For Ryan, 5 + 7 + 4 is 16.
Oh my God.
And for me, 1 is 1.
So,
we have discussed the idea of picking our all-time favorite movies. We are either going to do that on this next cycle or the cycle after that. So we'll let Ryan pick what that ends up being.
Choose our fate, Ryan.
In the left hand.
Let's do it. Let's go for it.
In the right hand.
All right.
Let's go for it.
Your favorite movie of all time.
My favorite movie of all time is a movie that I saw a few years ago, and I've only seen it once. I've only seen it once because I had such an amazing time watching this movie, and in my mind that was just my perfect movie viewing experience. So it'll be interesting going back and seeing how it lives up for me and what you guys think of it.
How long ago did you see it?
It was in high school, so at least
like
5 or 6 years ago.
Okay.
And I don't think any of you guys have seen it before, Magnolia.
I have not.
Okay.
All right.
I have a quick question. Has anybody ever seen The Fall here?
Yes, I have.
Can you show me that at some point?
Yeah, sure.
Because I saw a trailer for it, and I was like, this looks amazing.
It's really cool.
I want to watch that one.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of it. I've seen Legends of The Fall.
It's not the same thing.
I didn't think
surprisingly.
So.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. You should check out the trailer.
Okay.
So guys, check us out. Check out the Paul Thomas Anderson film Magnolia, and write us in your thoughts next week. You can write us in at fuarock@gmail.com. Our Facebook page, facebook.com/
From Under a Rock.
From Under a Rock. The Hyperdrive Facebook page, of course. Leave a comment on this video, the highlights video on YouTube. Just like somebody did. Oh, there's also our Twitter at FUA Rock Podcast. Just like somebody did. Steven,
okay. Like, the way you threw me off. Yeah,
so we had a question.
Yeah, last week we asked, we said It Follows is kind of in the genre of these classic horror films in its execution. So what movie do you think, horror movie in the last 15 years, so basically 21st century on, 2000 on, will be a classic? And we got a couple responses on Facebook. Sasha, our own Sasha Snow, said 28 Days Later, came out in 2002, and The Ring. I would have to agree. The Ring doesn't scare me as much, but like if I walk into a dark room and the TV's on static, I still freak out now.
28 Days Later is among my favorite movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's really good. And The Ring while I probably wouldn't enjoy it as much now, scared the shit out of me in middle school.
And it shares some themes with this movie and that movie. You can get rid of it by passing it on. Catherine said Signs. Signs, it changes. M. Night Shyamalan. For me, as a kid, it was
I think it's
scary.
One of his best.
Yeah. But as a kid, it's scary. And as an adult, it's a different movie for me. Mm-hmm. It's like about signs from God, really.
Sure.
But it's layered like that. Love it. And then she also said Stranger, because that one makes her want to cry.
The Strangers or Stranger?
She must mean The Strangers.
I'm not sure. Is there a Stranger movie?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Well, it's one of those two.
Personally,
thanks for
I want to throw a couple into the mix. I think The Conjuring.
I would say The Conjuring as well.
Definitely is up there. Cabin in the Woods, while not straight up horror, still definitely qualifies.
I was scared after seeing it still. Yeah.
Saw was James Wan's like first, wasn't it?
And then I'm also going to say one that'll be a future pick for me that both Ryan and I have seen, The Babadook.
Haven't seen
it. I would really like to see that at some point.
It's a great movie.
I'll save it for the podcast if you guys will pick it at some point.
Cool. I'm going to pick it. Unless Ryan wants to, but I'm gonna.
One of us like there's something else. Yeah. I feel like there's another
lot.
One there's in there. Some yeah.
There have been some surprisingly
good
horror movies.
Ryan, you got a question for our viewers to write in?
I have a couple questions actually. First of all, who is the superior Paul Anderson? Paul Thomas Anderson or Paul W.S. Anderson?
Didn't one of them make the Mortal Kombat movie, or is that a different Paul Anderson? I think a different Paul Anderson made the Mortal Kombat.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised.
I used to work for
WS.
One of the producers of the, or the producer of the Mortal Kombat movie as an intern, and he was a jackass.
Oh. Well, that explains the sequel.
Sub question. What's your favorite plague?
Plague, like
plague.
Biblical plagues?
Mm-hmm.
Like Moses?
Mm-hmm.
Moses, yeah, the plague of Moses.
Locusts, duh.
That's just your tantalizing clue for Magnolia.
I have no idea what it's about.
Oh, you know, I think I've caught a snippet of this movie on TV
in the dark.
Before. Yeah. Okay, we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
About that.
Write us in.
So, Hyperdrive.
What's
going on, Steven?
Released an interview with Black Nerd Comedy, who's a channel and person that I love watching. So I released that, and then other than that, it's just been our usual schedule. More collabs in the works, doing a lot of graphics for people, including ourselves. We're still in the middle of updating our graphics and for the podcast videos and the rest of our videos. So just trying to polish everything up.
Fun stuff.
Ryan clean. Put a lens flare right there, just when I'm like, ching!
That was the perfect sound effect for that, too.
Yeah, you don't even have to put in a sound effect.
Nope.
We already did it.
All right, you guys ready for one last roll call? Were we forgetting anything?
Yeah, that's going to do it for another episode of the show.
From the Rock?
I saw where you were going. I was like, wait, save it.
Yeah, I'd save it. Let's go around the table for one last roll call.
The man playing with the dolls is...
They're not dolls. They're action figures. I'm Mike Bourbon, child man.
Steuben, Steven, Suburban, the Burbs, Arena, the Jerk.
James McAnally, a.k.a. McDoodles.
A.k.a. McToyless.
McToyless.
And I'm Ryan Evans. Thank you once again for joining us for another episode of...
From Under a Rock.
Oh, I should have had a figure of The Rock.
You have like all of these wrestlers and you don't have The Rock?
I have him. He's just at home.
Lame.
I cooked him.
Do you smell it? What The Rock's like cooking? Do you smell what The Rock's flesh is like cooking? It's horrifying.